Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Michigan Golf Podcast. Garrett Smith here, as always, but today we have a very special episode for you, as we are going to get our first live guest on the pod. And I'm sure you guys enjoy listening to me talk, but why not make it a little more conversational and get somebody else in here with us? So the person we're going to have joining us today is my boss, my colleague, my friend. His name is Paul. And we work together and have for the last 4-ish years almost. And over the course of time, we've played a bit of golf together too. We've got that in common, of course. So him and I are going to be teaming up for this weekend's tournament on the Mitten Golf Tour. And we're going to be playing out at the Meadows at Grand Valley State University here in Allendale. And so if you haven't heard of the Mitten Golf Tour, they play all around the state and they host 2-person team events. And so you grab a partner. You go out, and sometimes it's best ball, sometimes it's a modified alternate shot, sometimes it's a two-man scramble. This weekend, we're looking forward to a two-man scramble out at the Meadows, so stay tuned. We're going to jump in, grab a quick ad, as always, but when we get back, we're going to have Paul on board. We're going to talk through what the Meadows has to offer. We're going to talk about what we're looking forward to with our first Mitten Golf Tour experience, and I think we're going to have something fun in store for you guys. So again, stay tuned. We'll be right back and have some fresh golf content coming up for you. All right, so thanks for staying tuned through the ad. I know if you've listened to this pod before, it's kind of getting a little redundant. So hopefully as we continue with more episodes, we can get some more sponsorships and give you guys some new ad content to listen to. But now that we got through that part, let's kind of turn things over to Paul here. As I mentioned, Paul, friend, colleague, we've known each other for a few years now. So Paul, why don't you go ahead and kind of introduce yourself? Give us a little bit of background on you. I mean, who you are, kind of. How much golf do you play? What's your handicap like? What are you doing these days?
Yeah. Well. First off, I'm glad to be on the pod. I was a little shocked to get invited, but I'm still happy to be here. I'm looking forward to Sunday. I know we're gonna probably talk about that in a little bit, but I think that'll be a blast for us to. It's been a while since we played together, so I'm excited for that. Yeah. But a little bit about myself. I don't want to bore anybody to death, but I have golfed pretty much my whole life. My dad has been in the golf industry for 40 some odd years now. My brother's in the golf industry. They're both superintendents. And that was kind of the road that I was going to go down back in the day too. But I decided to go more towards the business side. But I basically grew up on a golf course, a local one around here. It used to be Fairway, and now it's called Glen Eagle. So I grew up on that course, and that's kind of where I learned how to play. And then I myself worked on a golf course for quite some time. Started off when I was 12 or 13-ish, just riding around on a cart, filling divots, doing all that stuff, and did that for a handful of years. So that's kind of where I started, and just kind of learned how to play the game from there, just playing with my dad, playing with my brother, friends, whoever it may be, but been doing it lifelong at this point. My handicap is struggling a little bit. I'm still happy with it. I don't get to play as much as you do, Garrett, but... it's, I think, officially a 2.3, but there's some scores in there from too far back to probably actually really count, but that's where I'm at now. I only play once a week, maybe, in a league. It happens to be at Glen Eagle, and that's where I get most of my practice in at this point, and most of that is just hanging out with friends and hitting the ball around and just being outside. I mean, that's the main thing that we're doing right now.
Yeah, definitely. And I'd say, if we're only playing once a week to maintain a 2.3 handicap, I'd say that's not too bad, for sure. So, and Glen Eagle, that's another one we haven't talked about yet. I haven't played there in a long time, but you play your weekly league there?
Yeah. So the course has changed a lot over the past, 10 or 15 years, or even when I was there when I was younger, because it used to be 27 holes back in the day when I was young.
Oh, wow.
And then they had a 9-hole putting course, I think, for a little bit.
Did they really?
One of the only ones I know from the West Michigan area.
Huh.
I don't know what happened to it. I haven't seen it. I don't think it's there anymore. But I like the course. They probably have, honestly, the toughest greens that I can think of. A lot of different undulations, different ridges. The greens aren't crazy fast, thank goodness. But if they were, it'd be really, really difficult.
Man, yeah. I haven't played there in a long time, so... I think it was shoot for me probably back in 07, 08. And so maybe we'll have to get out there together and put that on the podcast and talk Glen Eagle.
There's a lot to talk about just because of the greens. And it's changed over the past handful of years because of housing. They've put a lot more houses on the course now. And there's some shorter par fives and some challenging holes. And if you're not on the right tier, you're in trouble.
Man,
for sure.
That's cool. We'll definitely have to get out there. But for this particular episode, we're playing the Meadows this weekend, and you've played the Meadows obviously before, and a good number of times too. I mean, being from the area, so what's your take on the Meadows?
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of the Meadows. I'll be interested to see how it plays this weekend, if it's going to be fast and firm, because I've played it before where it's not fast and firm, and I've played it when it is fast and firm, and it's drastically different course depending on what those conditions are. And especially you throw in the wind, it makes it very challenging. But I have. I played it in high school quite a few times. We used to have an invitational there, and it was actually... I don't want to brag too much. I know it's the first time on the pod, but I had my first hole in one there.
No way.
So it holds a nice place in my heart. Number three, the one right on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, my first high school match, I had a hole in one.
What?
Right out of the gate.
That. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I had no idea, because that's actually not one of my favorite holes. So that's cool that you've got some good fond memories on there. So
I only like it because I had a hole in one.
That's fair enough, but. Obviously, we both played the Meadows quite a bit, and with hopefully the rain kind of that's in the forecast for tonight, any storms that blow through kind of dry off by Sunday. That's what the hope is anyway, because I do prefer that golf course when it plays firm and fast, just because I think it's more fun. But that's kind of just me. But looking to Sunday, we tee off on hole 10. They released tee times and pairings on Thursday, and I saw that you and I are 10A, so that'll be fun. And personally, I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to getting the back nine out of the way first, because I prefer the front nine. I like the finishing stretch on the front of holes 7, 8, and 9. And that's kind of, I feel like the front nine yields a lot more birdie potential. And we're going to be playing a two-man scramble, so I think we'll have plenty of birdie opportunities. At least that's the goal always. But again, like, I'd rather get the back nine in and done. What about you? You
kind of. I'm teeing off first, right? I get my warm security blanket of you, right?
Yeah. Are you okay with that?
Yeah. No, that's great.
Cool.
I love that.
That's perfect, because I prefer to go second.
Okay, good. We haven't talked about this yet, so I just wanted to make sure we're good with that.
Yeah, are you cool with that? Like through and through, tee to green?
Yeah. No, that is great for me. I would prefer that, to be honest.
Sweet.
I'm used to hitting last too, but going off first might be a little bit different strategy for us, especially on a few of the holes. The backside, you're right. Like I don't love the backside. It doesn't fit my eye. It's usually in great shape, but once you get to like 12 and 13, just are not my holes. So hopefully they are your holes.
Oh shoot, 12 and 13, now we're talking. So for those of you that don't know the Meadows, it is the golf course there at Grand Valley State University, and it is extremely open, lots of wind. I mean, the wind always comes into play, but it's the long grass. The long grass is really what is intimidating, and it's one of those where, especially when you have kind of a warm and wet spring, that stuff grows long and it grows thick and it grows really quickly. So even though it's only, well, I guess we are almost to the end of June, but that long grass is going to be, it's going to be thick. It's going to be juicy. And so we don't want to be in that. And you mentioned 12 and 13. 12 is actually probably my least favorite hole on the golf course. So hopefully you're my warm security blanket and can put one in play.
We'll see. That course depends a lot on which tees you play.
Yeah.
Too. So I haven't looked at that. I don't know if we're tipping it way back. I would imagine we're probably going to be back a ways. I don't know for sure.
I forget how many sets of tees the Meadows has, because I saw we're playing blue tees.
They have four or five sets.
Do they?
At least they used to.
I think, so we'll probably be playing second to back. So, I mean, at least for hole 12, that is beneficial, because my least favorite thing about 12 is, one, it's, if you can call it a dogleg right, it's kind of a dogleg right, but I cannot stand from the back tees how you can't see the fairway when that long grass grows and it's so tall that you just can't even see your landing area. And for me, that's tough.
I don't have a good visual off that tee. I know everybody says go at that telephone pole, but that's not, I just can't shape that shot. And the second shot for me is actually probably even more difficult going into that green. Just because it gets pretty tight in there, and depending on what tee you play, you might be hitting a 6 or 7 iron in there.
Depending on the wind direction and the tee box and what we hit off the tee. But thankfully, being a two-man scramble, I would like to hope that at least one of us can hit driver.
I'll hit iron then.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. But if you hit iron and hit in the fairway, obviously I'll hit driver. But again, that hole, for those of you that do know or those of you that don't know, it runs along M45, which is the main road there that runs right through Allendale, heading into Grand Valley. And I have hit more than my fair share of balls down M45. So that's not my favorite tee shot. So thankfully, if you hit iron, at least free us up a little bit.
Yeah, I usually have the opposite effect. I go way to the right.
Yeah.
So, you know, so we have it covered.
Well, as long as you go far enough right, we can put it on the par three and we'll have a shot. But the other holes on the back nine, like 10 is fine. 11 is a dog leg left, and I don't mind that one since I play a draw. I know you kind of gotten into playing a fade off the tee.
Yeah.
So that's... We'll kind of, and I think that'll be a good thing. If you fade the ball, I'll draw the ball, then that'll help put us in a good position on a lot of holes that require different types of shots.
Yeah, actually, now that you said that, I used to play a draw back in the day until I got my new driver, and a fade on 12 actually will work out pretty well. So maybe that hole will suit my eye a little bit better now.
That's my hope, squeeze it off that bunker.
Yeah.
But that stretch of the back nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, and then 14 from the tip, shoot, that's a 600-yard par 5. And depending on the wind, that could be a really tough hole. But from the blue tees, hopefully they'll give you a shot at getting home in 2. And that's a fine hole. 15 is another long par 4. But that stretch, I don't know about you, but I like 16 through 18. 16 through 18 is a fun stretch of holes. And if that was the finishing stretch for us, that'd be cool too, because I like that stretch. And 16, 17, 18, as long as you're not playing 17 from the tips, I feel like they're three good birdie holes.
Yeah, 16 is a great hole in my opinion. A little bit of different strategies that you can play off the tee if you really want to, and even second shot you can have a little bit of strategy. 17 for me is, depending on where the tee box is a very difficult hole into the wind, side wind, whatever it may be.
That can be
a beast.
Yeah,
for sure.
It can be. And it's funny you mentioned that, because I was just talking with Evan, who's another one of our colleagues here. He's playing the Meadows today. He told us he was going to warm the course up for us.
we'll see how
that goes. Evan, if you happen to listen to this, you're a good dude, and I appreciate all the help you're going to give us by warming the course up.
So
just, like I said, don't take too many divots, fix your pitch marks. Just take good care of it for us. So I was telling Evan, anyway, 17 is that par 3, and it's tiny green. Pretty long front to back, but very narrow. And I've played a number of events at the Meadows, as you played out there a bunch. And from the white tees, if you get up on those front tee boxes, you can hit pitching wedge, 9-iron, and it's really a cool hole, because you can really attack all hole locations they put out there for you. But when they stick you back on the tips, and then all of a sudden it's 210 yards, and if there's even a hint of a breeze, and with the way those trees frame that tee box, you can't even feel it. And so you're looking to just, it's kind of hitting hope.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it still has it, but there's that little creek that runs up front too. So usually when I get up there and you're trying to pump a 5 or a 6 iron, the 200, 210 yards, you're just trying to clear that creek.
Yeah.
At least that's my main goal, and to not lose it into the trees on the left.
Yeah, that's what I was telling Evan. It's like you get out there, and I always aim at the right greenside bunker from the tips and just try and squeeze it. And if it draws, it draws. If it fades, it fades. And you just hope that you don't hit that 3-foot ditch, and you go from there. But 18 is a cool hole, and that is – it's a cool hole from visually. Architecturally, it is – okay, because for guys like us, even from the tips, I mean, we're not hitting more than, I don't ever hit more than probably 4-iron off the tee.
That's usually what I take too.
Maybe a hybrid if it's into the wind, but there's that bunker in the middle of the fairway, which kind of gives you the opportunity to split it right or left. Left side shortens it considerably. But then, again, for me, kind of as I mentioned about 12, it's visually difficult for me. Not intimidating, but difficult when I can't see the landing area. Like 18, you can't see the putting surface when that grass gets long. And so that leads to some difficulty for me anyway.
I didn't ask, but do you have a Bushnell?
I do. Okay, yeah, okay. I do have a rangefinder.
That comes in very handy on 18 when you have no idea where the actual green is. To be able to shoot that yardage is key.
It does. So I do have a rangefinder, and that'll be beneficial for us in a number of ways. And but 18 in particular, when you can't see the putting surface, and you can't really tell exactly that, whether a pin's front, back,
tough.
Middle, whatever it may be. But then we're going to get to make the turn of the front nine, which for those of you, again, that are not familiar, the front nine's got 3 par 5s, a very short, potentially drivable par 4, The par threes, Paul's got a hole in one on one of them, so that bodes well for us. Mm-hmm. But hole one, right off the get go, I mean, shoot, that's a par five that we can probably hit driver 7-iron into potentially.
Yeah, the biggest issue there you have is obviously with the wind, but that creek in the front and the green's pretty shallow. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, it can be very tough to hit, but if you're in the middle of the fairway, you should be hitting 6, 7, 8 iron in, I would think, depending on wind.
Yeah, definitely. And they got it used to be more intimidating because that creek used to run around the back, but they filled that in, which is nice. Yeah. So that way you do have the opportunity to hit one and err on the long side. And although you don't necessarily want to be chipping from back to front, it at least gives you an opportunity to be on dry land and two and green side. So that's beneficial. Two, I don't know about you, two I don't really love. Just kind of, again, a kind of a squirrely little tee shot for me, even though there's no room, I mean, there's no reason not to miss right. It's pretty wide open, but.
Two's fine with me. I usually just bump an iron out there and I'm fine. I have a difficult time with a second shot. They have that bunker in the front. So visually, even if you shoot it from a yardage, it might be 125, 130. It looks like it's 50 yards. So I'm always short on that second shot. I can never hit that green.
That's right. That green, that bunker that's like 30 yards short looks greenside because of the way it's pitched up. And that sneaks up on you. You're right. Because I've come up short a number of times on that hole, which isn't bad because there's that ditch in the back is going to smoke you if you go along. So, and then your hole in one hole, when you had that hole in one, what club did you hit?
So it was my freshman year of high school, and I think it was playing at 168. And so this was, I don't want to date myself, but this is 15 plus years ago, probably, maybe a little bit more than that, closer to 20. So I hit a 5-iron, and I bladed it. I just absolutely bladed my 5-iron. And it hit the stick and it went in. So it was not pretty. It still counts as a 1 on the scorecard, so I don't care. But it was 168 with a 5-iron.
Nice. No pictures on scorecards, so.
No.
Flag stick to the bottom of the cup is fine.
It was all good. I kept the golf ball for a really long time, too. I don't know where that ended up going, but first high school match.
Yeah, that reminds me. I've got one hole in one as well, but mine was with a pitching wedge from like a buck 35. So it was in a scramble as well. So it was in a golf outing, but. I don't even know where my golf ball's at. I know I saved it. I just don't know where.
Yeah, we moved, and I think I got rid of it. I actually, so I played the rest of my round with that golf ball.
Did you really? No way.
Etiquette-wise, I don't even know why I did that, but I played the rest of my round with that golf ball.
Oh, man.
No fear at all of losing it until I got done, and I was talking to my brother, and I was like, hey, here's the golf ball. And he goes, you played the rest of the round with that golf ball? Were you not worried about losing it? And I hadn't even thought about it. But once I got done, I was like, man, I should not have done that at all.
Yeah.
That should definitely have gone in the golf bag. Pick a different golf ball out.
That's what I would have done. But like you said, freshman in high school, and you skinny a 5-iron at the bottom of the flag. And you're just like, well, let's keep rolling. That ball's going. I mean, shoot, that ball's lucky at that point.
Yeah, it turned out to be a good round, too. So I started off, I went birdie, par, eagle, birdie. So I was 4-under after 4. I ended up shooting 34.
Nice.
So I limped in a little bit. But, yeah, that golf ball was hot.
That's still par 37. So still 3-under for the 9s. And as a freshman in high school, that's still, I got to imagine that was, if you didn't win that event, I got to imagine you were darn close.
Yeah.
But obviously, so we got that par 3 covered. Hopefully, Paul's the only person that has to hit there.
Yeah.
So we can duplicate that. Another short par 5 that we'll hit driver iron into. I don't think 4 is going to be any problem.
Are you good with that tee shot? Because I do not like that tee shot.
I don't like it either, but I think as long as we're not tipping it, that pond on the right, both of us can cover it. Yeah. So you do have the opportunity to aim up the right side, and if you leave it out to the right, you'll cover the pond and be fine. We'll just be back between holes 2 and 4. So that's not a huge deal. And then it's mid-iron into the green.
Yeah, it's just one of those awkward, you just don't feel right on the tee, or I don't feel right on the tee box, because you do have a little bit of water to the right, and it's just an awkward tee shot for me.
Yeah, the goofy thing for me is that the way that tee box is surrounded by that brick wall, because it's right there on the corner, I always subconsciously anticipate and wait for the echo of contact. So I know when the club face hits the ball, it's not going to sound like it traditionally does. It's going to be echoey. It's going to be just kind of a different sound quality. And so that I always, for some reason, that's always in the back of my mind, and I don't love that. But again, I think we'll be off the box, so that should be fine. The next hole's not too bad, but it's six. Six is going to be an interesting hole for us, because being a two-person scramble for this Mitten Golf Tour event, I got to imagine, I'd like to think, I mean, that they put us up and give us the opportunity to just grip and rip and try and drive the green.
I think with your ball flight, that's the perfect time for you to be able to hit driver. I know, I don't know if they've expanded that chute. It was getting a little tight for a little while there.
It's still pretty squeezed. Still pretty squeezed.
But for your ball flight, that hole is perfect for you to hit a driver. So I would definitely, I can bump an iron out there pretty easily. I would like to give it a go, but smart-wise, you should at least get out of that hole with a birdie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think for me, the way that green, it's got the two tiers. It's got the front, and then there's a significant rise of probably, what do you think, three or four feet?
It's significant.
For sure, yeah. To the back shelf. And if that pin's in the front, then I always think it's grip and rip it, mm-hmm. Just go for it. But if that pin's in the back, if you miss the green, it leaves you an awkward pitch shot. So it just depends. I mean, are they going to have an influence in setting up the course? I don't know. If they give us a front hole location and a kind of a more forward tee, it might be a really cool opportunity to try and make an eagle. There is going to be a skins game this weekend, which we're going to get into. So there should be some pretty good cash on the line for that. So it'd be a great skin opportunity.
Yeah.
But we'll kind of see. And then the next couple holes, oh, that was six, wasn't it? Not seven. Did I say seven?
No, you said six.
Did I say six? Yep. Okay, cool. So seven's a par three. That's kind of a ho-hummer. Always, I think, plays a little longer than...
It does. Every time we shoot that, tees that I usually play, it's 175 to 180, but it always feels like it plays another 20 or 25 yards.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the wind direction or the shoot that it's in, but it seems like it plays a lot longer.
I do think wind does play a factor there, because you can't feel it from the tee box, because that is one of the few places on the meadows where you actually are in kind of a circle of trees. That is one of the few sheltered holes where you don't see the flagstick move, you can't feel much on the tee box, and you kind of glance up and you can look at the leaves at the top of the trees, but even then it's just kind of hit or miss. You kind of never know what you're going to get. So we'll get through that one fine. Neither of us have had a hole in one there, so no promises. And then eight. I don't love eight. I don't hate eight. It's kind of just a par four straight away.
It's fine.
It's just going to be probably driver wedge.
Yeah. Stay to the right.
Yep. And then nine is going to be our finishing hole, which is going to be a cool opportunity, I think, because in a scramble, when I play there competitively or even just for fun with my friends, I don't hit driver on that hole. It's a par five. But because of the way the course usually plays firm and fast, and with the pond that the fairway kind of runs into, it's just, for me, it's never been worth the risk. And honestly, if it is playing firm and fast and you can rip an iron, I find that you can get close enough where you could probably still take a rip at the green as long as you can just get to the end of the fairway. But if you do hit driver, there is an opportunity to squeeze it to the left, which will then give us probably about, 170, 160 in if we really rip one.
You're inside 180 for sure, mm-hmm. If you can clear that tree and then the split fairway.
Yeah. Yep. And then the second shot's always tough, because that kind of the way those trees cut in, and then that green angles back into the left, so you've really got a kind of a difficult second shot. But that's what's kind of cool is, I mean, although it is a short par five, it's a great risk reward hole no matter what, whether it's 9 or 18 for your round, whatever it may be. But another good birdie opportunity. So three par fives on the side, we should be able to.
So what do you think we're going
to
shoot?
I was going to ask you the same thing.
I think I beat you to it. You first.
Yeah. All right. So we'll cover two bases. Because one, I want to guess what we're going to shoot, and then I want to guess what's going to win. Because obviously we want to contend, and this is going to be cool too. Because the Mitten Golf Tour, they're rolling out a new kind of scoring process, obviously with COVID-19 and doing things a little bit differently and using some technology. We're going to be using the Golf Genius app and going to be keeping live scoring. So we're going to know where we're at the end, for the entire duration of the tournament. And so it's going to be fun coming down the stretch and knowing, hey, are we a couple ahead? Are we a couple behind? Where are we at? But I think, honestly, I mean, you're playing once a week, but you seem like you said your game has been all right. My game is all right. I feel like I'm playing well, and especially putting well. And I think in a two-man scramble, I would say, gosh, I'm going to put the over-under at 13 under par.
Oh, you're going 13.
I'm going 13.
How well are you putting then?
Really well.
Really well? Okay. Because that, I found like in a lot of these two-man scrambles that I played, even if they're just for fun or with a different group, it literally is always about putting.
Mm-hmm.
If you're making your putts, you can go low.
Mm-hmm.
13.
It's a big ask, but what do you think?
I was thinking
over under.
I was thinking 10 or 11 is what I was thinking.
Okay.
I was right in that area where it's feasible.
Yeah.
It's going to depend on some of the wind. If it's windy out there, that course is a beast.
That is true. We do have to take the elements into account. So maybe 13 is a little ambitious, but I tend to err on the ambitious side.
That's good.
So I set the goal high and see where we come in at. But I mean, I talked about it on a previous pod. I can't remember if you listened to it or not, but when I played Sunnybrook a couple weekends ago for the city match play, and I just hit the ball all over that golf course and a handful of fairways, and I only hit four greens in one of the rounds and still shot 76. Both rounds I had 25 putts. So thankfully the putter has been hot, and we're just going to hope that it keeps rolling, because you're right. I mean, that's where we're going to make or break in a two-man scramble.
Yeah. So what do you think wins it then?
Gosh, whatever we shoot.
Well, I hope so.
Just kidding. That's a little too bold for the pod. We've never played in a Mitten Golf Tour event before, so I honestly have no idea what to expect. And also, I mean, they play at different courses all over the state, and I've seen they play different formats too. I mentioned a little bit about that in the intro. Sometimes it's modified alternate shot, sometimes it's two-man best ball, sometimes it's a two-man scramble. And I think part of it is all kind of dictated by the course difficulty, and the Meadows is kind of a notoriously difficult golf course with the long grass and the wind, so I think a two-man scramble is appropriate. But I gotta think no matter what, it's gonna be double digits, whether it's us or anybody else. I think a two-man team can scramble to go at least 10 under par out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of chances too. You talk about all the par fives on the front. I mean, you can go low on the front.
Mm-hmm.
You really can go low. The back's a little less gettable, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But there are chances out there. It's just whether or not putting your ball in the right spot, which is golf just in general. But
yeah,
making a few putts here and there, whether it's the 10, 12 footers, if a couple of those fall right away, I think you can get rolling out there for sure.
I agree. I think, so obviously 13 is a little ambitious. I think, like you said, 10 or 11 is probably pretty good. But I think if, like we talked about, starting on the back nine, I think if we can make the turn at 6 under par, I think we've got a good shot at getting to that 12 to 13 under mark. Because I really feel like if we can go 6 deep on the back, then that front nine with 3, potentially 4 eagle opportunities is going to lend itself to some pretty low scores.
It'll be, if we see a few putts roll in, I think that's the key.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's on 10, 11, 12, like early on, you start seeing some roll in, I think that'll be key for us.
Yeah, yeah, and weather will be a big factor. But I think I looked at the forecast, I saw mid-80s. And yeah, thankfully we tee off at, I think, what, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock? I can't recall.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock shotgun. So we'll see how it goes. But again, the Mitten Golf Tour, to just kind of touch on those guys, we've never played in an event, so looking forward to this. I think it's going to be really fun. And whether it's, I mean, I hope it's not our only Mitten Golf Tour event we play in, because, again, they kind of bounce around the state a little bit. And I did see, I haven't mentioned it to you yet, but I saw the email that they put out maybe yesterday. They've got another event coming up at Quail Ridge at the end of August, which might be fun to check out. I can't remember what the format was, but possibly another scramble. And Quail Ridge is a great golf course too. But either way, like you said, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a ton of fun, because you and I, we played in a spring best ball a couple years ago out at Macatawa, and even though we haven't played in a tournament together, we still get out a couple times a year usually, at least once or twice.
Yeah.
So it should be a good weekend. Looking forward to it, and it's going to be a ton of fun. And Paul, first time on the pod, but you're going to get a very quick second time on the pod next week when we come back to recap.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Because you know that people are going to want to know how it goes. We can't sit here and talk this game and evaluate the Meadows and then not come back to let them know how it goes.
Well, if I don't make it back next week, it's because we played terrible.
There you go. All right, so next Monday or Tuesday when we roll out the next episode of this podcast, if Paul's not on the pod, then you guys will have an early inkling of how that round went. Although he's my boss here, I might fire him from my team.
Yeah.
So as long as he doesn't fire me from his team, I'll be okay.
Yeah. We'll see if we play Quail Ridge or not.
But all right, that's cool. That's cool with me, man. I'm glad we could jump on and do a quick recap of the Meadows, and we'll recap. Let's think about that first. It's a precap, not a recap.
Yeah.
sometimes I get words mixed up. But anyway, glad we could do this. Looking forward to Sunday. We'll get back in here next week and let you guys know how it goes. But wish us luck. Hopefully we can go 1-for-1 on the Mitten Golf Tour, and hopefully they'll invite us back if we do. So
thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Now let's catch up next week. And then thanks again for joining, everybody. And stay tuned for the results in a couple of days.